Experiencing God sermon series theme today is experiencing the God who is at work in the world. It is a story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet from John chapter 13, verses 1 through 16, which is in your bulletin, on the screen, or in the Pew Bible, pages 107 through 108. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them." The word of the Lord.
Now may the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Certainly, as it has been announced, our Lenten theme continues with experiencing God, and it's the theme on midweek services as well as weekends. Today, our focus is experiencing the God who is at work in the world. And our Bible story with Jesus actually calls his disciples, get this, to work. Some Christians may think that we really don't need to do any work as people of faith. As a matter of fact, we preach it, don't we? We preach and we teach that good works do not save us. That's exactly what the father of Lutheranism, Martin Luther, taught, that we are not saved by works, right? Well, it's sort of like the joke, the woman was in the hospital. Her end was near. The woman's family was gathered around. Their pastor was there to offer a few words of comfort. At the conclusion of the minister's prayer, the woman whispered, thank you, but I am confident that I'm going to heaven." The entire room just choked up with tears of encouragement. The pastor then was hoping to draw just a little bit more faith from this woman, simply for the solace of her family. And he asked this question. He said, How is it that you are so certain that you will spend the rest of eternity in Christ's arms?" The woman answered without a hitch, "Pastor, I'm assured of salvation because I have made sure from the very beginning of my life after confirmation that I have not done no good works my entire life." Well, you know, we as Lutherans in particular, we really drill down on this business of being biblically and theologically focused on Ephesians chapter 2. It says this, "By grace we have been saved through faith. It is not our own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast." Strong and heavy emphasis that our salvation is solely dependent upon God's grace, God's initiative of sending Jesus to die on the cross for us in our place. And our receiving of this gift, not by anything that we can do to achieve it, only by faith. And yet we should all read one more verse in Ephesians chapter 2. It's verse 10. It says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Yes, indeed, it says, we are made for good works. We are saved by grace through faith, but made for good works. And the good works, of course, that's not the horse before the cart. The horse before the cart is indeed our faith in God's grace. But we are called to do good works not to be saved, but because we are saved. And we do those good works as a sign and as a witness in thanksgiving for God's almighty grace. You see, Jesus called his disciples then, and he continues to call us today to do the work. And the kind of work that he calls us to do is some of the hardest work in the world, believe it or not. And that work is to serve others by washing their feet. So what does it mean? What does it mean to wash and to serve others by washing their feet? Well, it means that we engage in doing the work that really nobody else wants to do, right? I mean, who wants to wash dirty feet? Daniel pointed it out quite well. In Jesus' days, one of the tasks of the Jewish culture upon entering a household, and particularly prior to a meal, especially a special celebration like Jesus and his disciples are about to engage in here, it's the Passover meal, was to wash feet. There was, by the door, a pitcher of water, a bowl, a towel, all stationed by the door. Reason being is to wash the feet before celebration of a feast. Also just to walk into the house. As Daniel pointed out many times people, if they didn't travel by horse or by donkey, they traveled on foot, barefoot, maybe it was sandals. And the feet were some of the filthiest parts of the human body. Covered in dust, mud maybe between the toes, underneath the toenails. And of course, there was that dirt and grime mixture with camel, donkey, horse, and sheep dung. So to sit down at a meal, especially a Passover celebration meal, with barnyard smells in the room, combined with leg of lamb and good wine, well, wasn't all that appetizing. Not to mention the fact that when they dined back then, they didn't sit at a table with chairs like we as Westerners do. But the table was basically a rug on the floor, and they reclined by lying on their side. So get this, the food, the mouths, the noses, and the feet were all on the same level. With all that said, the chore of washing stinky, dirty feet was not the most coveted acts of service. And therefore, for a major celebration like a Passover, a servant generally was hired to do this menial work for the guest party. Well, as we read this story, evidently, Jesus and the 12 disciples probably did not budget, could not afford maybe to hire or to pay someone to wash their feet. So it's quite interesting that the story says in verses 3 and 4 that it's during supper. Wasn't before, but it was during supper that Jesus himself got up, removed his outer robe, grabbed a towel, grabbed the water, and he started washing the disciples' feet. And to me, it's a very super curious detail. It's obvious that nobody else had volunteered to do this dirty work. And so I get it. Who wants to do that? Disciples were here as guests themselves. They were celebrating. They were part of the meal. So Jesus must have said to himself, I'm thinking, I guess if no one else is going to do it, I'll give him an example. I'll give him an example of what it means to follow Jesus. And so the creator of the entire Christian church, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our God, sovereign from the beginning of life, gets up and he washes the other's feet. I'd like to suggest to us this morning that the dirty work of the church is not always washing the feet of one another, but is washing the feet of those in the world around us and those who may have some of the dirtiest feet. And one of the things that I think about in this story is that among the group of 12 disciples is one called Judas. And Jesus washes his feet as well. It's not just the inner sanctum of people, the 11, but it's all 12 that get a foot washing from Jesus himself. Kind of reminds me of the fact that it's not just us who serve one another, Christians or Holy Ghosters, family members and friends of this particular congregation, but that we are called even to wash the feet of those outside, those maybe who need it the most. we're called to wash the feet of our local community and beyond. You know, most of the times we're very willing to wash the feet of others in our family of faith. In-house people, right? And yet we're reluctant to serve those who may not belong to our congregational tribe. And like the 12 disciples that were reclining around the Passover table, they were a little bit slow. No, they were totally slow to get up and even wash each other's feet. So the church that we belong, and I'm not talking about just Holy Ghost, but I'm talking about the whole Christian church, we can be even slower to wash the feet of those who are outside of our four walls. And yet not doing so, not taking up the towel for outsiders, therefore mainly catering to each other, that can certainly be a curse that leads to the church's slow but sure decline. There's a story told about a helicopter service whose sole purpose was to fly in and rescue people. Situations such as fires, auto accidents, disaster relief, and such. It was privately owned by two families. They began this, and it was a good experience for them. They saved many, many lives over the years. But after COVID, the cost of things, right, all went up. Fuel, insurance, equipment, all this inflation escalated. And the business partners had to get really creative about being financially stable. So what they decided to do was once a month they held a barbecue, live music, adult libations, and they would just put out a jar for donations. And oh my goodness, it was such a big hit, such a successful monthly event that they began to do that then, Fridays and Saturdays of every week. It evolved into something that these partners then required. Well, let's go ahead and charge a service charge. Well, eventually, they made it an exclusive weekend, and they called it for members only. And so you can just imagine, due to the focus on this inside hustle, that the 9/11 emergencies could not be attended to like they had previously been. And after a while, what had been about focusing upon rescue missions, emergencies, well, became a super successful nightclub for their patrons. And in exchange, fewer and fewer lives were saved. The temptation for us, for we as the church, is oftentimes to focus upon serving ourselves, our own members, as if we were a club, taking care of our own, so to speak. And the church can easily forget that even the good shepherd left the 99 and went out in search for the one lost sheep. Meaning that not focusing on taking care of ourselves only, but to serve the needs of others, has got to be a part of our identity. Spring forth from God's grace and God's mercy and our faith in that and what he has done for us to do to others. There's a story told about a church in Detroit. It started a latchkey program, you know, for after-school kids so they wouldn't have to go home and be home alone. And so the church leaders were a little less enthused about this than their pastor, but they initially went along with this crazy idea that he had. The program offered a safe place for tutoring, a substantial snack, mentoring for many of these kids who were totally at risk. This was the heart of Detroit. The program cost the church several thousands of dollars every year. Some of the members of the church complained that this was costing the church way too much, and that having these kids around the property put the members and the property at risk. So some of the members pressed the leaders of the church saying, How many new members have we gotten out from this program? One of the women on the church leadership team said, none. Well, then why are we even doing it? Well, the woman answered, because the police report shows that gang activity in our community has declined by 50%, but more importantly, gaining members is not the goal. Cleaning the feet of those around us is. There's no greater way for the church to get the attention of the unchurched in the community than by doing what Jesus calls us to do in this passage, and that is to wash the feet of those in the world around us. You know, it's when we let our light so shine before others that they see good works, that glory is given to God our Father. And this is a crazy thing, but the church is then seen by outsiders as something that's authentic, something that's genuine, and not just an organization set up to serve ourselves. And this is certainly not to say that the church doesn't have responsibility to the sheep inside the pen, but it's also an equal obligation that we look after and we serve and we minister to those beyond our walls. I'm so very proud of our congregation. So very proud. I just almost burst with pride, almost sinful pride, of all the good works that we're able to do for our community. The quilts that surround you today weren't put out today just because it's cold this weekend, okay? But these represent the 550 quilts that the women of our church have put together that'll be sent overseas. Thank you, ladies, for washing feet. The monthly ministry that we do with the Feeding John program, with the Needs Council, cook home-cooked meals and deliver them. What an opportunity to wash the feet of others. Programs like our Wounded Warriors Weekend, or the free Christmas Day dinner, or the free surviving spouses in our community, or the free cycle, or the Global Leadership Summit, or three AA groups, or offering our space for free to the high school for any and all of their banquets, the Kindernest program, the African Children's Choir, the free community Bible school that we do, the life care ministry that we did for so many years with Pastor Rick. Thank you, Jesus, for opening doors of opportunity for us to wash the feet of our community. And it's not at the exclusion of us not providing support and feeding and fellowship and events for us as Holy Ghosters, family members and friends. But it's so key. It's so key, brothers and sisters in Christ, that we keep the pedal to the metal to continue strengthening our involvement with our community by washing the feet of those outside our walls. I had three very good friends in high school that were firefighters. This is not a picture of them, okay? Yeah, just want to tell you that. Upon graduation, they went to fire school, and they were firefighters in Austin. I think we have one active firefighter in our congregation. I think we have at least three retired firefighters. And then not to mention all of the firefighters that are volunteer firefighters in our community and the communities in our county. And I believe that we all totally respect these men, these women, who don't run away from the fires, but run into the fires. They put their lives on the line to save the lives of others. And many of you know probably that the firefighters are 24 hours on and then 48 hours off. And the 24 that they're on can be very hectic, very perilous. When they're on duty, they're in a moment's notice, they've got to jump and go. But I got to tell you, because I knew these three that I grew up with in high school, I also knew that they had a whole lot of downtime. In-house fellowship is what they called it. They would prepare just wonderful meals for each other. They would do storytelling, and they'd play basketball and exercise and joke around and do pranks and all sort of general playfulness. But get this, when the fire siren sounded, they immediately dropped whatever they were doing to serve themselves, and it was all hands on deck. And these first responders were out saving the lives of people that they had no idea even who they were. What a great image for us as the church to celebrate with one another, to worship together, to share our faith with food and fun and fellowship and study, all sorts of opportunities. And yet there must be an intentional continued focus that when that fire siren of opportunity sounds, that we rally around that mission of not just strengthening the saved, but working to save the lost by serving and washing feet. It was during World War II that there was a bombing raid in a village in France. Their beloved statue had been affected. When the locals went to restore this statue, they found that it was fairly intact, surprisingly, except for the fact that the hands were gone. They were never able to find the hands in all of the rubble. But finally, the villagers placed a plaque at the bottom of this statue, and it reads, "I have no hands," Christ says, "but yours." Our Bible story today concludes with these words. After Jesus had washed their feet, he put on his robe and had returned to the table. He said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, so also you ought to wash one another's feet." Sisters and brothers in Christ, we experience God when we join him. When we join him in washing the feet, not just of one another, but of those outside of our walls as well, in this world around us. Amen. Amen. Let's sing the song.